All right, so what about Jesus and Maddie? They spoke good English?
Both yes, yes, both of them spoke good English.
So they communicated well and everything?
Yes.
Did they spend a lot of time together, or were they apart a lot?
No, in fact, they're just like teammates. They, uh-huh. You know, it's not that they hung out with each other. I think probably Maddie, as far as I remember, probably hung out more with Jose Pagan.
Oh, is that right? Okay. But he was older. Maddie was, Jesus was the youngest.
Jesus was the youngest, yes.
Yeah.
Jesus was, I think, a year older than me.
What about Gaylord Perry? Did you get to know Gaylord?
Oh, yeah, Gaylord. In fact, Blanche and Cassie, my wife, were very good friends.
Right.
And we were both very sad because she was killed a couple of years ago.
Right. What about that?
Gaylord was known not to get along with rookies. You know, it was like, mark my word, Gaylord doesn't like rookies. But he treated me very well. We lived at the same complex, so Gaylord would always take me to the park. So I think I was an exception to the rule.
What about these stories of unloading the ball and all that? Is there anything you can say about it?
The only thing that Gaylord never said it.
No, I'm sure he wouldn't tell you.
And
did you see it?
I probably wouldn't tell you. But word had it that he used to have a slippery elm tablet under his lip, and he would use that. But I watched him on TV for years after, and I could never find him doing anything illegal.
Okay. Willie McCovey had been up a couple of years, I think, with the Giants at that time. Big, strong
hitter. Another good guy.
Yeah.
Well, we used to call him Easy.
Yeah.
They used to call him Stretch.
Stretch, but you called him Easy.
We called him Easy because that was exactly what he was. Mm-hmm. He just took everything so easy. And, we came back on the plane, and I was talking about getting married to my wife. And he said, I'll probably never get married. By the time the next year came around, he was married.
He was married. Okay. How about the big guy, Willie Mays?
Mays. Absolutely great. I have a picture of Willie and I up there. And he still sends me Christmas cards.
Is that right?
I'll tell you what a feeling it was just to be out there, and you'd have to be on the pitcher's mound to realize just how good he was. And he would just, there'd be a ball hitting the left center or right center, and you say it's a double, and you're ready to back up third, and pretty soon he's under there like this. But he was even a greater human being than he was a ball player. And my wife was so impressed. He had a party for us at his house, and Kathy just couldn't believe what a great host he was, and how he would always ask us, would we like something else, and he would get it for us, and whatever else. But he just, I don't think he forgets anybody that he'll go with.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say, oh, geez, I went to get Mace's autograph, and he wouldn't sign it or whatever else. But people can only understand that the poor man doesn't have 2 minutes of privacy in his entire life in the daytime, that they could understand that, you know, just give me this 5 minutes of privacy, and if I see you 10 minutes from now, I'll gladly do it. They don't see him as a human being. They just see him as an object that you can just run and give me your autograph, and he's supposed to be happy 24 hours a day. But he's just a great person.
Okay, Juan Marichal is another one of your teammates, famous,
yeah.
Another Hall of Famer, great
sure
pitcher.
Is. And that's, you know, it's one we were talking earlier about. You asked somebody that's 30 years old today, and some of them don't remember Juan Marichal. Probably one of the greatest pitchers in ever lived.
One of the best I ever saw.
And he came down in 65, he was a holdout, and he came to spring training late, and he hadn't thrown in, I don't know, 3-4 months, and he showed up, and he went down to the bullpen and threw about 70 pitches, and about 68 of them were strikes.
Yeah,
he was just totally amazing. He could put the ball where he wanted it. He wasn't exceptionally fast, but he had so many deliveries, so many pitches, and he had just absolute total control over all of it. he was a pleasure to watch.
Yeah. Did you get to know him fairly well?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a little more private, very sociable when you were there, but when he wanted to be private, he just wanted his time. Yeah. So you respect him for that too.
Any of your opponents that you recall that you got to know friendly that you could tell me a thing or two about?
It's not so much that I do, but probably the greatest day of my entire career was when we were playing Chicago, and I was walking down the runway in Candlestick Park. The runway was like out in the right field, and you came from the clubhouse and you walked down the runway, and Ernie Banks was at the bottom of the runway sitting in a chair. And I had my jacket on because it went from 70 to 20 in a half an hour. And I had my glove tucked under my arm. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, what am I going to say to this man? And he turned to me and says, hello, Mr. Estelle, how are you today? And I tell him it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And then I found out later that it's a hobby of Ernie's, like to know not only everybody in the big leagues, but everybody in the minor leagues that he was going to face sometime. He would know everybody's stats. He would know everybody's name, what they threw, how much they weighed, the whole thing, but I still felt it.
I'm sure you did. Did you get to see, I guess it was Sandy Koufax pitch against Marichal? Did you ever around for one of those matchups?
I saw Koufax pitch a couple of times. But I had joined the club right after the Roseboro incident.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And when we went into Los Angeles the next time, we were expecting a whole lot of trouble.
Right.
But it was very calm.
Yeah.
But Koufax was, he was an outstanding pitcher.
Yeah,
he
sure was. Who would be the infield you'd want behind you if you were, back when you were playing? Who were the guys you'd like behind you?
I'll tell you what, we had a second baseman that I played with as a shortstop, and then went over to second base that I thought was just one of the best ever, and that was Hal Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
He was our second baseman there. I don't know if you remember Kenny Hubbs, who was also a second baseman. A lot of people that don't remember Marty Banks as a
shortstop.
Short
right.
I think I would like to have him. I would definitely like to have Brooks Robinson at third base. At first base, it's really hard because there are a lot of excellent first basemen. But playing with McCovey, he was a lot better first baseman than people gave him credit for. He could make any play that anybody else could make. He was an excellent first baseman.
And Tom Heller was your catcher, right?
Tom Heller was our catcher.
Did you like catching?
And then not only he, Del Cranley came.
Okay.
Too. It was funny because he became my manager.
Right. Later on you said he was your manager,
right.
Yeah. Okay. You said you don't watch any games today. You're not watching.
The only time I'll watch a game is say if Nolan Ryan is pitching, or I know that Rob McDonald might be have a chance to pitch, or any of the guys that I might have played against or with, like Rene Latchman, I played against for 3-4 years. So if I see the Marlins playing, it's just fun to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I won't watch it.
You won't watch it?
I'll watch golf.
Okay. If you don't watch the game, I don't know if I can ask you, but maybe you have an opinion anyway about how the game is now. You say you don't watch it.
I'm still aware. I'll watch it for an inning or two innings or three, four. I can't sit and watch 9 innings. I think that the game has gotten out of hand as far as salaries. And I would truly not, because when I went up with the Giants, I think the average or the minimum salary was $8,000. And now
Well, now, well, the minimum, I believe, is 100, I think, now.
Or maybe even more.
It's around 100, or maybe even a little more. And the average is a million, I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, but I've gotten out of hand, they've gotten out of hand. I can't see a guy that hits 220 for a year making $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember Joe DiMaggio taking a cut because he only hit 320 instead of 335 or something. You know, I think that's totally out of hand, but I truly wish that there was some way that they could make up for the guys that played in the Negro Leagues, the guys that had played in the 30s, if there was some way that could go towards some type of retirement for these guys. I mean, there's got to be it's an awful lot of money.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's an awful lot of money, and it would really be nice if a portion of that, you would just think just a minuscule amount from each player to go towards some type of a fund for something like that would be outstanding for the game.
Yeah, that's a lot of money that they're making. If you don't have any other stories for me, I think I'm done. You have another story or two you can think of? About Red Ruffing or anybody else?
Well, I tell you, in all the years that I played, I met a lot of friends. In fact, I just went golfing in Myrtle Beach with an old roommate of mine, a fellow named Hal Haydell, who I played with at Phoenix, and I played with in Evansville. And he, I think it was, 71, I think. It was either 70 or 71, he went up to Minnesota. And I hadn't seen him since 1970. And I met him in South Carolina this year, the first time since then. I met a lot of good people, not only as ball players, but friends, mm-hmm. people I met along the way. Good friends of Riggio's who live in Tacoma, Washington. Bill Long, who is the husband of my youngest daughter's godmother, who's celebrating like an 85th anniversary. I see them, I see the Riggio's. There's just so many people that I met during this time that we still keep in touch with. But of all the years, probably of all the people that I liked or all the people that I disliked or the good stories, the bad stories, the person that probably helped me out the most during all this time was Early Wynn, who was my pitching coach. So you can say I was in good company.
You sure were. Tell me about Early Wynn then.
Early Wynn helped me. He was with us in 1970 when I went to Evansville the first year. He was Minnesota pitching coach, traveling pitching coach, and he just truly knew my capabilities as a pitcher and made the best of it.
Now, by then he had been retired a few years. He was a 300-game winner, a Hall of Famer.
If you knew him, he was, you'd swear he was a minister or a priest or something.
Why so?
Well, it just is his approach.